psychiatrist found that 58% of doctors from minority ethnic backgrounds said they had faced racism at work. 29% of those said it affected their health, and 41% said it had an impact on patients and carers. A spokesperson for the National Health Service said, "Any form of abuse, including racism, is completely unacceptable," and the National Health Service England recently published the first ever Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Improvement Plan as part of the NHS Long-Term Workforce Plan to ensure that National Health Service organisations continually improve the experience of our diverse workforce, which in turn improves care for patients. The British newspaper The Morning Star has also covered the same story and tells us more. "Racism is a stain on the National Health Service, and the Health Service must do more to stamp it out," the outgoing president of the Royal College of Psychiatrists, Dr. Adrian James, has warned. The president of the Royal College of Psychiatrists, Dr. Adrian James, told the college's International Congress in Liverpool that tackling racism is key to recruiting and retaining psychiatrists and other healthcare professionals and practitioners. He highlighted the problems linked to racism, including pay gaps, disparities in disciplinary processes, and a glass ceiling for doctors from minority ethnic backgrounds who want to progress into management positions within the National Health Service. Last month, the National Health Service Race and Health Observatory, formed in 2021 to examine disparities in health and social care based on race, said better anti-racism policies could boost the National Health Service workforce. The organisation called for better care, better training and anti-racist policies to up staff numbers within the National Health Service, saying this would improve patient experience and save millions of pounds spent annually on addressing racism claims brought by NHS staff, clinicians and patients. The Royal College of Psychiatrists has launched a new campaign calling on mental health employers to take steps in areas of leadership, accountability and access to opportunities to tackle workplace racism head on. In his farewell speech after 3 years in the role, Dr. Adrian James said, "Institutional racism is rife in society, and the National Health Service is not immune." He said, "We see its pernicious effects on colleagues who are leaving the National Health Service in droves. There is absolutely no place for racism in today's society. It is a stain on the National Health Service. It damages mental health and makes existing mental illness worse." Dr. Adrian James added, "It destroys lives, the lives of patients as well as colleagues. The National Health Service has a moral, ethical and legal duty to do much more to stamp out racism in all of its shapes and forms." A recent survey by the Royal College of Psychiatrists found that 58% of doctors from minority backgrounds said they had faced racism at work. Some 29% of those said it affected their health, and 41% said it had an impact on patients and carers alike. A spokesman for Britain's National Health Service said, "Any form of abuse, including racism, is completely unacceptable." And NHS England recently published its first Equality, Diversity and Inclusion Improvement Plan to address the problem of racism.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
She in the dark found light brighter than many ever see. She within herself found loveliness through the soul's own mastery. And now the world receives from her dower the message of strength and of inner power. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, you are listening to Muslim Lady. Yes, that was a poem about all of you. All the ladies from all around the world, I hope you're doing well and you're enjoying every second of your precious life. I am Asma at your service as the host. And today with us, we have Sister Zainab to brighten our world more and more.
Assalamu alaikum and thank you for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be here with you. And just like always, we're talking about women. This is Strong Creatures. And, well, recently we've been talking about different aspects of ladies' lives. And right now, I guess, it's good to have a hint on the time. Well, we don't get old. This is a fact for every single woman in this world. Well, age is just something that has been written somewhere. It's the creation of human beings and we do not care for it. But in case we just get old and we are called aged women, we have some expectations and life changes in our eyes. Right. The perspective we have toward other people and toward life is going to change.
Right. Yes, expectations basically vary based on the personal experiences mm-hmm. and the cultural backgrounds. Some research suggests that, you know, expectations grow with age.
Yeah.
Because people who grow older have more experience and knowledge about what is possible and what is desirable. Like, you know, there's a child, for example, as a child is young, he only knows toys and he only wants toys.
Mm-hmm.
But when his world of knowledge increases, he
yeah.
gets exposed to the world and he sees other things. Now he sees the parks, now he goes for the trips, and then he wants all of them. Now his expectations increase. So expectations do increase with age. There's no doubt about it.
Because your world is going to get bigger and bigger, and that's why you have more of expectations.
Exactly. And now, since in this world where the women have been exposed to a more, you know, I would say to many worlds where she was not exposed to before, like in the ancient times, women was not exposed much. She did not have exposure, so she had least expectations. But now the woman has been exposed to, well, no, you know, you are an extraordinary creature and you have...
You mean all this fancy world around us that tells us, okay, you're a model, you are a doll, you're something beautiful?
I would say unrealistic world that has been exposed, that has been introduced to a woman, has increased basically her expectations.
Yeah.
So all that comes with the, you know, increase of the information, the more you get exposed to something, and also the different societies, different backgrounds. And there are also some researchers, though, who suggest that expectations shrink with age because they become more realistic and content, you know. Definitely, you get exposed to a world, but your knowledge also increases.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're more realistic. Yeah. Now you're more content.
So you don't expect much.
Yeah.
So there are two perspectives.
Exactly. So there's no definitive answer, basically, to this question that as different people... may have different expectations for themselves and others at different stages of life. Because as we said, based on the cultural backgrounds and the knowledge they have and the experiences.
And by the way, it depends on the background you're coming from, the family you had, the context you're living in. Maybe you have been growing as a pampered child. So just add to that being a woman, a girl, then just what kind of a misery is going to happen.
Exactly. But there are some research as well which suggests that, like we could say, most of the times it's that with age expectations grow, and there are reasons, like based on the life stage and developmental goals. Elderly people have different expectations.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to social relationships.
Exactly.
You know, for example, when a woman grows old, she expects more availability, more care, support, understanding.
This understanding is very important.
Exactly. Because as they grow old, they want you to understand them as they understood you.
Yeah.
In your times.
I guess.
Like when I as a teen was very rebellious.
Yeah.
It was my mom or my grandmom who understood me. When I have grown to that stage, it's a vice versa kind of process.
Exactly.
It's a two-way.
Yeah, yeah.
So you also have, and we have a lot of religious teachings, what they say about the behavior that should be going on. But what are they trying to say? They kind of are loudly saying something. Mm-hmm. They are saying there's a need for security. There's a need of belongingness. They need self-esteem and they need self-actualization.
Yeah, that's very true. So just to add it in here, I have to say that expectations are just not for women. All the human beings, I guess, as they grow older, they have some expectations, and it's pretty much natural. And it's, I guess, their right to have some expectations, of course, realistically. But since women are so delicate and they're just like these flowers that are so precious to everyone, and at the same time, they're so breakable. So that's why we're talking about it. And we said that it's most probably because of the fact that they want to be understood by others and they want to be taken care
of. That support and...
Yeah, and they long for support.
Yeah.
That's the fact. So let's keep it in here. Go for a short break, and then we'll be back. Dear ladies, the diamonds of our lives, welcome back to today's episode. Well, you're listening to Muslim Lady. We're talking about you and what is your concern. So today we're talking about the expectations that we get as we grow older. And it is not just for women, but since this program is devoted to all the dear women, so we talk about them.
Yeah, we were saying that as women grow old or they have this more concern of someone being available to them for care, for this support, they need generativity, they need respect, and they need value from all their social contacts that they have. It's not just from the, I would say sons or daughters. They expect from the social contacts they have. And these expectations, as we said, they reflect something that's the need of security and the self-esteem, self-actualization, and their belongingness and all. There was an article published in the Journal of Perspectives on Psychological Science titled Understanding and Addressing Older Adults' Loneliness. The Social Relationship Expectations Framework. It was by Akhtar Khan and others. So what they say in this that these expectations are influenced by universal human needs and age-specific developmental tasks.
Yeah, so it's pretty natural.
Yeah. So such expectations are basically shaped by various contextual factors that we have been talking about, like such as culture, functional limitations, social network changes even, and the personal experiences, obviously. So therefore, as we grow old, the social relationship expectations are not fixed or homogeneous. They get, broader, they get diverse, they are more dynamic. So there's also some research that suggests that expectations may indeed increase for women as they grow older.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like,
because they are more into details.
Yeah. And there was one study conducted by the researchers at the University of Michigan in 2014 by Twenge and others who found that women's aspirations and expectations tend to increase as early as they are peaking around the age of 30. So now there was a research done which showed, yes, as they grow 30, now the expectations tend to increase comparatively to those who are younger women.
That's nice.
Yeah. And there are also other studies who have highlighted that social and cultural factors shape women's expectations over time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, research has shown that women often subject to gendered expectations around family and caregiving, which can create conflicting demands and pressures as they basically navigate through different stages of life.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. So apart from all this, like what we said so far, there is this societal message about beauty and aging that contributes to the unrealistic expectations of women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just see the bombardment of advertisements or the propaganda on the social media about beauty, about aging. This really grows unrealistic expectations in women, and which only would lead them into hurt and nothing else. Because expectations could be sometimes realistic, which could be met, which even Islam guides us how to meet those, how to understand those. But sometimes there are some unrealistic expectations which the world today has created.
And overrated ones that you do not have to care for.
Which you really wish there's no way out to it.
Yeah.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
So, sister, if I want to ask you a question as a lady yourself, imagine 10 years later, the thing that will make you get into more of expectations from the people around you is?
My family. Mostly the people who are very close to me. My first circle. Like as per psychology.
And the thing that makes you feel like you have some special expectations from them is what? What makes you have more expectations from them?
The attachment I have or the belongingness I have to my family. And that would be definitely the support I would be needing. I would be in need of when I would grow like older. Definitely, you don't have that physical ability, then you don't have that courage then.
So that's the reason why when we get older, we want people to care for us. Because we think that, okay, now I'm a useless creature and I cannot be as productive as I was once or in my 30s, in my 20s. So I feel like maybe people around me would no longer care for me. And I would love them to have more support and love towards me. So I guess it's a sort of a shout out for love.
Right.
Of course, a single document is not going to show my worth. But after a certain age, I start to compare myself to other women. And then if I did not have as tangible achievement as they have, I might go through some hallucinations that, okay, I am useless perhaps, and I haven't done much in my life. And since I'm a woman, and society is going to look at me as a creature that no longer has this validity to work with other numbers of the society. So this was all the time that we had for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Well, it was all about you, all about women. And as they get older, well, I would like to call it aged women, not right. old, because we don't get old. And because age is something that remains in your heart. You can be a 70-year-old woman and at the same time feel as a 70-year-old girl in your heart.
Right.
So, yeah, keep yourself young and love yourself and try to have some realistic expectations in case you have expectations in your life, because expectations would lead nowhere except the ruin of you. And thank you for being with us. Thank you, sister. Until another session, I bid you farewell. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I know I'm waiting, waiting for something, something to happen to me. This waiting comes with trials and challenges. Nothing in life is free.
Food for thought.
Salam everyone, and how about enlightening our minds with the words of guidance from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. Our affairs are attached to the destiny decreed by Allah. On the contrary, even our best plans may lead us to destruction.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked in
Islam. The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example of
self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. Stay tuned.
از امام صادق علیه السلام فرمود که اذا مات المؤمن دخل معه فی قبره سته صور.
In a thoughtful hadith from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we read, when a believer is put into the grave, six intermediate forms display themselves to the soul of the deceased one. Each of these six forms stand by one side of the believer. These sides are up, down, right, left, front, and back. Now, what is the exact meaning of side in this hadith? These six sides are not navigational ones. They are the dangers that might affect you from six sides. In better words, Salat, Sawm, Zakat, Hajj, Benevolence, and Velaya will all guard you against the dangers of this world from six different sides.
این جهات عرض کردم جهات جغرافیایی نیست که جلو یعنی این جلو سمت راست یعنی این طرف سمت چپ یعنی این طرف اینا نیست.
As I said, six sides are not the navigational ones. Now, the first one is the right form. By right, here we mean the good deeds that might harm you too. But how the good deeds can harm someone? For instance, a person who does salat might also be affected by a fake arrogance or self-praise. Thus, on your right side is the form of your salat that might protect you from the dangers of this world related to your worshipping. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short speech by Hujjatul Islam Ali. To find out more about this program, log on to our website parstoday.ir Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales.
Roundtable Discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
We love our life. People live in different parts of the world with different races, cultures, and beliefs. We also live in Gaza, next to the Mediterranean coast. Gaza is one of the cities of Palestine. My city is considered the most dense city in the world with 2 million inhabitants. In the past years, this entire territory was called Palestine, but now there are only two small territories in the east and west, the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Israeli occupiers have been looting our land for years and made life difficult for us. After elections, Hamas took control over Palestine's affairs, and the compromise strategy with Israel was officially rejected. We all reached an agreement that Palestinians should return to their cities. After elections, the Israeli occupation closed all the gates and crossings of Gaza. Even Egypt, which was our neighbor and shared borders with us, closed its crossings to us. They built a fence around our city, and this meant that people's necessities like food, medicine, and everything related to our life must enter and leave with the control and permission of the Israelis. 12 years have passed since Israel's measure, and on the other side of the fences, the Israeli occupiers protect their own people with the heaviest weapons, so they can be calmly busy looting our lands in the place that has been our homeland for years. But there is no peace in this side. Yes, here is Gaza, a part of Palestine. And these are my sisters and brothers who are defending this part of their land with their blood and stones. Palestinian men and women always protest, and the Israeli regime always kills them. I wish conflicts happened behind these fences, but the occupiers aren't satisfied with that. 3 devastating wars were imposed on us in these years, 2008, 2012, and 2014. These recent wars and destructions wanted us to give up the choice we had made. But despite all the difficulties, the option of resistance is still our first and last option. Bombardment during day and night is a normal thing for us. But the ambulance siren, mother's grief, and father's sadness will never become normal for us. The Israeli occupiers confiscated our lands, burned the city, and did not spare even the animals. The only zoo in Gaza City was on Salahuddin Street. The animals were dying one by one. Finally, an animal protection group moved them out of the city. But anyway, the law of the jungle is sweeter for the animals than the law of the jungle of the Israeli regime. Yes, here is Gaza, a part of Palestine. Gaza is filled with stories, voices, tears, uneasiness, and life inside these fences. My life is one of the stories of this city. I have to travel abroad to treat my legs, but the fences don't let me. The closure of the passages that connect to Israel and Egypt and the sea borders don't let me go out of Gaza. I like Gaza, its beaches, its sea, its farms and call to prayer sound. I like to listen to the call to prayer that is played 5 times a day. I like the culture of the people of Gaza. I like the art and Dabka dance. I like the culture of the people of Gaza. I like the Palestinian life and Palestinian mother's clothes. I like sparrows chirping and flowers' aroma. I like the soil of my homeland, despite all dark and difficult moments that exist here. I like to leave Gaza freely to participate in the tournaments. I like to see my compatriots free. I like to see the enemy defeated. We don't demand a lot of things in this world. We only want to have the right to life, like other people in the world. These children need electricity so they can study at nights. They shouldn't wake up by the sound of bombs and rockets during the nights. The rhythm of their mother's voices shall lull them to sleep, so they get up with hearing sparrows chirping. This is what we want. We love our life. We love our life if we find a way to live it. Thank you.
today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. So welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about rules of life in Islam. So be with us. Assalamu alaikum. Today, Wednesday, 23rd of Zilhijjah, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Tir, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 12th of July, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open the Holy Book of Allah. Holy Quran, chapter Hujurat, verse 14.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Qalatil a'rabu amanna qul lam tu'minu walakin qulu aslamna walamma yadkhulil imanu fi qulubikum. وَإِن تُطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَا يَلِتْكُم مِّنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ
The Bedouin say, "We have believed." Say, "You have not yet believed." But say instead, "We have submitted," for faith has not yet entered your hearts. And if you obey Allah and His Messenger, He will not deprive you from your deeds of anything. Indeed, Allah is forgiving and merciful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The blessed verse reflects the difference between Islam and faith, saying that Islam is the outward and legal aspect of faith, and whoever utters the formula. It is narrated from Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him. It is through Islam that the purity of blood is preserved, one's trust is guaranteed, and marrying him or her will be lawful, but divine rewards will be bestowed upon man through his faith.
From one, the seed has spread. The dawn of light has split from white to blues and reds. Behind it all, there must be more. Seven colors of day. Shed the light of your way. Have I found what is lying behind the fire in your eyes? Do you see what I see? What I see, what I see. See what I see, what I see.
The topic of this episode of today's special, Rules of Life in Islam. The Islamic way of life is, to put it briefly, a God-oriented life. The greatest concern of a Muslim is Allah Almighty. The focus of his whole life is the hereafter, which is the ideal world of Allah. He obeys divine injunctions in every aspect of his life. His life is a practical expression of this Quranic verse, chapter 2, verse 138. We take on Allah's own dye. Taking on God's dye means being of godly character in all aspects of one's life, personal as well as social, exemplified in one's thoughts, words, and deeds. This godly character is personified in all Muslim individual whose words and deeds, in family matters, dealings with other members of society, and earning a livelihood are always distinguishably dyed in the divine hue.
Examine every event here that happens. Every event, even a small event. Do you know that this event is the result of billions of factors that are combined? You don't see these factors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees those factors. You're not aware of more than 99% of those factors. If all these factors didn't happen, that event would not have happened. Simple events, any event. A man marries a woman. The lady, she goes to a woman's gathering. The mother of that guy sees her on that day. Well, why did she decide to go to that gathering? Why on that day? Why is it that the mother of the man came to meet her? She was impressed by her attitude. And then they ended up getting married. When you just look at a simple event like that, millions of factors put these people together. Many times you don't see these factors, but Allah sees these factors. There is no such thing called a coincidence in the universe. Everything is by divine incidence. There's no coincidence. There's one interesting theory that a meteorologist came up with about a few decades ago. It's called the butterfly effect theory. It shows you how one small factor has such a global influence. There's no such thing as a coincidence. Everything has a cause. So basically, meteorologists who give you the weather report, people objected to them. With all these supercomputers that you have, with all this technology, why can't you get it right? Why can't you tell me how the weather is going to be like 10 days from now, 20 days from now? Why? You have the best technology, you have sensors all over the world. They have sensors in the clouds, airplanes going, checking, you know, storms in the oceans. They have sensors all over the world. And they're computing all of that. Why can't you get it right? So you know what this meteorologist said? He said, the problem is we cannot get it right because of what's called the butterfly effect. And he said this example. It's an interesting example. He says if there's a butterfly flying in Japan, it affects the weather in New York. How? When a butterfly flies, it generates movement in the air. Very small. Very small movement. It's not even noticeable to you. It's not even detectable to you. But it generates some movement in the air. That movement causes changes in that part where the butterfly is flying. So it moves the air, it opens a gap. Then you have another layer of air that moves a little bit until you come to cloud level, to the jet stream. Very small, insignificant change. But when it caused that change in the jet stream, and you go thousands of miles away, it affects the weather in New York.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
From the Prophet Muhammad's lifestyle, we have one strategy on golden rules of success. Trust human nature. Most people are basically good. Challenge yourself to make a friend out of an enemy. The Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt were exposed to all sorts of insults, provocative language, abuse, and torture. At that time, the Quran enjoined upon them to return evil deeds with good ones. No matter how hostile a person may appear, he or she has a God-given basic nature and instinct for goodness and for truth-loving. So we believers in Allah and followers of Islam should discipline ourselves as if beneath the surface of his antagonism. Their lies may be a hidden friend. So the challenge of a true propagator of Islam or submitter is to make a friend out of an enemy. Each one of us and our offspring should follow the same example of wishing to build and never wishing to destroy.
I only knew love when I knew love of thee. I sealed up my heart against my enemy. I stood long in converse with thee who doth see my heart's inner secrets, but thou I don't see.
From relying on Allah in our daily lives, we reach to reflection on this universe. How many forces must come together with perfect coordination before a seed can sprout? What keeps this immensely complex universe working so flawlessly, from the simplest to the most complex things? There are indeed pointers to the Creator in every atom of everything in this universe, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the alternation of night and day. There are indeed signs for people of understanding, people who remember Allah standing, sitting, and lying down. They realize that Allah did not create all this without purpose. Glory to Allah. Quran chapter 3, verses 190 to 191. This ability and capacity to think deeply about things is the light of a Muslim.
You see that one day, let's say you're driving on the highway, on the freeway, and you're not paying attention, say, to your speed or to the method of your driving. You're in a hurry, you need to go somewhere, you're driving fast. While you're absent-minded, you're not really focusing on the road, suddenly you see a car in front of you and you're about to hit that car head-on collision. At that moment, you will see that even the atheist, who for his entire life has denied the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that time, the atheist will say, "Oh my God." And you've seen that and you've experienced that. When you're about to experience danger, you go to the Almighty God. Even the atheist, who has rejected the Almighty God for years, for decades, at that moment of danger, when he or she sees that there's no hope in this life except that powerful being, they say, "Oh my God, subhanAllah. For your entire life you've rejected God. Now that you're about to die, when you're about to have an accident, then it's at that time that you call the Almighty God." But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is merciful. It has been reported that Gandhi in India, when he was shot and assassinated, the first word he said when he was shot, "Oh my God." Even though it's known that he was a Hindu. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this nature in ourselves to help us reach his path and to help us embrace him and have a fervent hope and belief in him.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today. And inshallah, of course, we meet you soon in another episode of today's special. So we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyun Imami, Lafata illa Ali, Aliyun Imami.
علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.